How's everybody?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, absolutely. Well, thanks everybody for joining us today, and I hope everybody had a good holiday season, a chance to relax at the best. So, you know, as we look back on 2024, we have accomplished a lot together. I signed nearly 190 bills into law last year. The vast majority of those had bipartisan support. I signed fair maps for Wisconsin, undoing a decade of living under some of the most gerrymandered legislative maps in the U.S. I approved $73 million in annual tax relief to reduce child care costs for working families. It is projected that more than 110,000 taxpayers will see an average of about $650 in tax cuts beginning this year in 2025. I enacted two pieces of statewide legislation enabling Wisconsin to receive over $78 million in federal investments to bolster our EV infrastructure. There are now three new fast charging EV stations coming online in Ashland, Menominee, and Chippewa Falls, with more to come with the new year. And we also successfully kept the Brewers in Wisconsin through 2050. With a new lease ensuring future generation will be able to root for the home team, which was finalized and approved just before the holidays, and go Brewers. And we secured a multi-billion dollar investments from key industry leaders like Microsoft, Eli Lilly and Company, Nestle, Purina, Kikkoman, and more. In my last State of the State address, I declared 2024 the year of the worker to renew our focus on addressing our state's generational workforce challenges. Through these efforts, we continued our trend of historically low unemployment, and nine counties reported the lowest rates of unemployment on record. We achieved record high employment and participation in the state's registered and youth apprenticeship programs, and expanded apprenticeship pathways, including the first ever teacher apprenticeship pilot program. We worked with Senator Baldwin to secure the state's designation of the U.S. Regional Tech Hub, which is set to bring more than 140,000 jobs and $9 billion of economic development to our state over the next decade. And we helped launch the U.S. Climate Alliance Climate Ready Workforce Initiative, which is working to train 1 million new registered apprenticeships across the nation by 2023. I'm incredibly proud of the work we've done this last year, built upon the efforts of over the last 5 years. We continued providing tax relief to the middle class and working families across our state, including the Child and Dependent Care Credit I just mentioned a minute ago, that will go into effect this year. All told, through tax cuts I've signed into law through my time in office, 86% of Wisconsin taxpayers have seen an income tax cut of 15% or more, with 2.4 million taxpayers receiving relief. And Wisconsin taxpayers will see $1.5 billion in annual tax relief, primarily to the middle class, targeted to the middle class. Thanks in part due to these efforts and tax cuts I signed into law as governor, a recent analysis by the Wisconsin Policy Forum showed Wisconsin's income tax burden, and that means how much of state and local taxes pay Wisconsinites pay as a share of their personal income, is the lowest on record. That means we've worked hard and successfully to make sure Wisconsinites get to keep more of their hard-earned money in their pockets. We've also improved more than 8,600 miles of roads and 2,000 bridges, and we have built more than 17,000 units of affordable housing since I've taken office. And our work to expand access to affordable housing will continue in 2025 as we implement one of the largest state investments in affordable housings in our history. As we look forward to 2025, there is, as always, more work to do. I look forward to delivering my State of the State address on Wednesday, January 22nd at 7 p.m. where I'll talk about the work ahead of us and to lay out our state's top priorities for 2025. While we had much success in 2024 working to address our state's challenges of recruiting, training, and retaining talented workers, our efforts must continue in 2025 to address the workforce challenges that have plagued our state for decades. We can both help address our state's workforce challenges and give working families a little breathing room in their household budgets by making childcare and housing more affordable and accessible across our state. Making childcare and housing more affordable and addressing our state's looming childcare crisis, which could have really bad consequences for our workforce and our state's economy. It's been a top priority for me and my administration, and that will continue to be that case in the new year. I also continue to be concerned about the burgeoning crisis of mental and behavioral health in Wisconsin, something that we've been talking about for years. I will again propose robust investments in my biennial budget to expand access to mental and behavioral health statewide, including in our schools, and I urge the legislature to join me in supporting this important work. It also, obviously, and everybody in this room is in the same position, weighs heavily on me that we're kicking off a new year just weeks after a school shooting here in Madison at Abundant Life Christian School that took the lives of Ruby and Aaron, injured several, and affected countless others, including a student who's still recovering from those injuries. Keeping our kids, our schools, our streets, and our communities safe and addressing gun violence has been a top priority for me and my administration over the last 5 years, despite continued legislative resistance and inaction. In 2025, this should be a shared priority that transcends politics and partisanship, and one I'm hopeful to finally receive biennial support and effort. So I look forward to sharing more details about my budget proposals to address these pressing statewide challenges, and I deliver my 2025-27 biennial budget. That message will happen on Tuesday, February 18th, 2025 at 7 p.m. Be there. It's going to be something. I'm hopeful that as we ring in a new year in Wisconsin after Fair Maps, we will see a legislature that's more collaborative, more responsive, and reflects the will of the people of the state. And that work begins here today. I spent the last month of this last year traveling across our state, hosting my biennial budget listening sessions, and completing my fifth annual 72-county tour to hear directly from Wisconsinites about the issues that are important to them. So today I'm announcing, a provision I'll be including in the biennial budget to require the legislature to give the people of Wisconsin a pathway to enshrine the will of the people. It's no secret that since I took office, Republican legislators have repeatedly ignored the will of the people of Wisconsin, a majority of whom support proposals like restoring Roe and access to safe legal abortion, legalizing and taxing marijuana like we do alcohol, funding our public schools, and implementing common sense gun safety reform, among many other issues. Instead, Republican lawmakers have repeatedly worked to put constitutional amendments on the ballot that Republicans drafted, Republicans passed, all while Republicans refuse to give that same power to the people that we serve. That's wrong. Republican lawmakers shouldn't be able to ignore the will of the people and then prevent the people from having a voice when their legislators fail to listen. We have to change that. If Republican lawmakers are going to continue to try and legislate by constitutional amendment, then they should give Wisconsinites the same opportunity that 26 other states have. It's that simple. The legislature should give the people that same power too, and that's what I'll be asking them to do in my next budget. So, thanks for being here today, and I'm happy to take your questions, folks.
Signatures, how would it work? proposal.
Yeah. In order to do that, it has to be a joint resolution, and that, and the requirement for that joint resolution will be in the budget. And that would give people the ability, like in 26 other states, to have a ballot initiative brought by the people of Wisconsin.
Governor, you said previously that you would support cutting Wisconsin's prison population in half, but since the pandemic, Wisconsin's prison population has been inching upward. What explains that trend, and why hasn't the prison population decreased more under your leadership?
Well, we had a pandemic that made things very much more difficult. We will be addressing that issue in the budget. There's no question about that. We need to have criminal justice reform, and that's one of the things we'll be putting in the budget. We're getting through this last 4 years in a very difficult time for our correctional institutions and the people that are in it. And we believe we'll have some answers for that in this next budget, and hopefully we'll get some support for that. Oh, for sure. We should have done it a long time ago. Yes.
Governor, speaking to legislative leaders over the last few weeks, there appears to be a bipartisan push heading into the new year to try and regulate Delta 8 and Delta 9. Of course, this is from a loophole in the 2018 Farm Bill. You can see at many grocery stores you can buy this substance, but it's concerning a lot of parents as teens can get their hands on it easily. We don't know what that bill will look like, but in theory, regulating the industry, possibly raising the age to 21 to be able to purchase these products, is that something you would generally support?
Generally. I'll have to take a look at it, but we need to address that, the issue of marijuana also. It'd be nice to be able to do both things at the same time, but I'm open to that. We have to make it clear to people what's legal and what's not. That, I think that's important. But in addition, the people of Wisconsin, I don't know the exact numbers, 60-70% in the that have been polled by Marquette University support the legalization of marijuana. It'd be great to be able to take care of both those things at the same time.
Have you heard any concerns about these products being out there and being easily accessible?
Yes. Yes.
Would you like to see some type of regulation?
Yes, I would, but all I'm saying is it'd be great to deal with the issue of marijuana at the same time. We have to have clarity on what's happening with what you brought up, but we also, the will of the people, it seems to indicate that legalizing marijuana and treating it in a really, really appropriate way is something that we should be supporting also.
After the Supreme Court ruling last year, Republicans have been pessimistic on reauthorizing the Mills-Nelson program. Is that concerning to you? DNR is a pretty bold $1 billion over a 10-year proposal. Do you think that's something that you can find common ground to get done?
We should. I mean, if you think about the value of Mills, that stewardship fund, it is so important to who we are as Wisconsin, and also the ability to make sure that we have the land available for people to recreate on. And so, yes, we'll be dealing with that issue in the budget, absolutely.
Would you veto a budget that eliminates funding for
I would veto that part of it, yes. We can't stop. I mean, people expect Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin, to support the Knowles-Nelson project, and it's been great for the state of Wisconsin. It's important for our tourism industry, and so the idea of ending it is not going to happen.
Governor, can we circle back to the THC question? Speaker Voss recently told us that people can ban THC products like Delta 8 to anyone under the age of 21.
I need to see the whole bill. I need to see the whole bill.
Another proposal that Republicans have talked about taking on early this session would involve requiring cooperation with ICE as it relates to individuals who are arrested or in the country illegally. Curious your thoughts on a bill like that if it were to reach your desk or some of these other conversations with the incoming presidential administration regarding deportation.
Yeah, I think it's somewhat premature to, I mean, we can make some guesses as to what might happen with the new administration in Washington, D.C. My goal is to work with that administration when we can and be in opposition and try to change ideas when we can't support it. That may be one of them, but I'd have to see that bill before. It's way too early for me to say I'd support it or not. The bottom line is, you know, in Wisconsin, 70% of our farms are dealing with 70% of the people that may be part of the federal government's idea to move them elsewhere, like out of our country. Think about that. How in the hell would we continue to be the dairy state when there's nobody there to milk the cows and do the other important work? So that, and we've made that clear, but the overall goal with this administration will be to work with them when they can't and work with and to be in opposition and change their minds when we cannot.
Governor, do you think the difference between that and people who are here with a reputation who've committed crimes or have a criminal history, should they be deported if they have that record?
It's, you know, what crime? Speeding?
Violent crime.
I think if they're serving time already, they shouldn't be treated any differently. I mean, violent crime is violent crime. If you end up in a correctional institution, that serving that time is equally important for someone that is documented and someone that is not. I'm trying to remember the letter. I remember getting it. PFAS thing is simple. Joint Finance Committee has to release that money. That was passed. It's part of law.
When it comes to approaching education funding, are you waiting for the Supreme Court decision on your veto from the last budget?
No. We will be having a robust budget for public education as we always have. And so whatever's happening in the courts, that's not going to stop us from making that proposal.
Speaker Voss has said that if the court upholds your 400-year veto, that's likely where education funding is going to be for this year, no increase. What's your response to that?
That's a joke.
Governor.
I mean, honest to God, that is a joke. Oh, we're working already on that issue. So yes, we're working with Brown County, Green Bay. We anticipate it's going to be a good event, but it's an event that we are, you know, our whether it's our folks at the National Guard, the folks that we have under our work, the people at the State Patrol. All those people are working together. It's going to be like the RNC that happened in Milwaukee. Those things have already begun to work on that. It's going to be a great opportunity for the state of Wisconsin, obviously, and Green Bay.
Governor, part of $320 a year per pupil is a joke. Is it that's not a big increase per year for revenue caps, or is it not funding for those mental health? What part of that is a joke?
It's both. No schools would be able to get by just on that small amount of ability to spend money. They'd have to spend their tax money at back home. They would likely have to go to referendum even more so. So it's a joke. And the issue of mental health, we put I think $50 million in the last budget, and I know the speaker does feel strongly about mental health issues, but that doesn't necessarily portray what happened in the budget. With the amount of money that we got in the budget, which is a fraction of that $50 million.
So you're using more frequently per kid per year in your budget?
On that piece, there's going to be more money, period, for schools.
Governor, do you have any updates on the update on the audits looking into Milwaukee public schools? And if you don't have any updates, do you think MPS overall and the auditors are working fast enough to find some answers?
Yeah, it seems like forever, doesn't it? The audits that we provided will be done soon. I don't know if it's going to be done before the budget. So hopefully some information can help us in the budget. But yeah, I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated, especially that they've been working together with the city on the issue of police in the schools. That's part of state law, and they have to obey the law. So somehow they have to come to a conclusion on that.
Governor, do you have any thoughts on this? You mentioned the 70% of the workforce on the dairy farms in Wisconsin, mostly undocumented because there's no year-round visa for low-skilled farm work. Do you have thoughts about what could be done to protect that workforce and the dairy industry?
Yeah, well, we have to work with our friends in Washington, D.C. I mean, they're the ones that control that issue. And we will do everything in our power to prevent it from happening. I mean, it's illogical if you're a Republican or Democrat to say, well, we're going to mess with America's dairy land because of somebody's idea of what immigration should look like. We have people working there. They're doing a great job. Our farms and, frankly, our manufacturers also need that work. They need those workers. So we'll be working with folks in Washington, D.C. to make sure that doesn't happen.
Governor, school resource officers obviously are under the purview of local school boards, but
right.
Do you have a preference as to whether it be SROs in Madison and Milwaukee schools again?
I don't have that's a local decision to make. It's been successful. Some school districts feel it hasn't been successful, but the fact of the matter is the Milwaukee Public Schools, as part of the last budget, need to finalize that. Now, whether individual school districts make that decision, I know some school districts feel strongly about allowing it to happen, and some folks are, it's a local issue, bottom line.
What is your number one priority in the budget to get across the finish line?
Well, number one is multifaceted. We have to make sure that people in the state of Wisconsin have the ability to thrive economically. And part of that is affordable housing. Part of that is tax relief. Part of that is to making sure that our public schools are strong. And so to say there's one thing that we absolutely have to have, I'd say it's a multifaceted answer. It's the same question that I address around schools themselves. Yes, we need to fund our public schools, but children are in schools maybe 6-7 hours a day. How about affordable housing? That impacts those kids. How about transportation? That affects those kids. How about health care? That affects those children. So in order for us to thrive as a state economically, and that has to be an overall goal, there's more than one thing that has to happen. And what I just talked about is just around kids.
Governor, do you support closing prisons such as Waupun or Green Bay? And if so, should those prisons be replaced? And will you support any funding in the next budget to fix school replacement?
I think you will have an answer for that in the next budget.
Governor, we're a little less than 2 years out, but this will be the budget that you would run on in 2026. Is that when your mind is putting this together at all?
No. Because I haven't decided if I'm running yet in 2026. I'll be making that decision sometime post budget.
UW system. $800 million, and what does the future of the system look like? Can things continue the way they are, but they seem to be limping from cycle to cycle to cycle? Buildings are getting older,
right?
Falling down. I mean, how is the system sustainable? Where do you get that $800 million if you're going to give that to them?
We have $800 million for sure, and that's what's going to be in my budget. Yeah, you're right. You hit all the highlights. We can't continue to starve our system. whether it's a higher education or UW system or the technical college system or a K through 12 system. That's part of economic development. So yes, we will, I made a commitment to put $800 million in the budget, and it will be there.
So we've got about 5 minutes, guys.
You make a decision about money after the budget. Looking at the 2024 election, Democrats have said that maybe Joe Biden should pass the torch, to use that phrase. Will that weigh your decision? Not necessarily if you're Joe Biden.
Or do I have a torch?
Do you think it's time for new generation Democratic leadership, and should you be thinking about that, your decision about the election?
Of course. I'll think about all those things. But it ain't going to be right today.
Well, Governor, given that you have new maps, we're coming into a new biennium, we've got new Democratic lawmakers, you're still weighing your future, would you say that you have a political New Year's resolution when it comes to reaching across the aisle?
Yeah, because I see it already. I anticipate that will things be perfect everybody's going to get together, and Robin Voss and others aren't going to be complaining about me. Of course, that's all going to happen. But I've already seen and I've talked to every Democratic legislator, and I'll be, any Republicans that want to meet with me, that will make that happen. But I've already seen a opportunity for some of the new people on the Democratic side reaching out and talking to individuals on the Republican side about issues. That just didn't happen in the past. So do I think that there's opportunity? There's certainly opportunities for us to get along better and to accomplish things for the people of Wisconsin. And that's what fair maps are all about. As you know, when I ran for this office, I said, we have to have fair maps, not gerrymandered Democrat maps. And that's exactly what we have. And the reason I believe so strongly about that is that the will of the people is the law of the land. And we're a purple state. And the maps reflect that. And I think as a result of that, we will see more collaboration and cooperation. So I'm looking forward to that.
Speaker Voss has said he wants to see tax cuts passed before the budget using a majority of the state surplus. Do you think there's a compromise you can reach there to pass a tax cut before the budget?
It's unlikely, but you never know. We'll take a look at it.
Will you propose restoring driver's licenses for undocumented?
I'm sorry.
Will you propose restoring driver's licenses for undocumented immigrants?
I think we've done that every time, so we'll do it again.
Changing the test score standards. Do you think that was the right move? There's been many people critical of that decision because it's very difficult to even compare to previous years.
Yeah. I hate to even talk about things that aren't my purview anymore in the Department of Public Instruction, but I just think there should have been some information and dialogue happening with all sorts of people before that decision were made. Because of that change, as you just said, it's hard to compare year to year if one year you're doing something completely different. And so do I think it could have been handled better? Yes, absolutely. You have to have in a decision like this, I'm not even sure how many school people knew about it. And so I think in retrospect, if I would have criticism, it was about the process.
Was it a surprise to you?
Hell yes.
Was it a mistake?
Not telling me at the last minute, that even would have been a problem. I'm just saying the mistake was that there wasn't enough conversation with the stakeholders, with parents ahead of time.
Do you want to know what's happened there? Who do you want to see?
I'm not taking any position on that. There's at least two people running, and I think likely a third. So,
PFAS,
yes.
Do you think that a bill is going to be the way to get that money released from joint finance, or do you think that there's going to be room for negotiation on getting that money to communities faster than the legislative body can do it?
I'll do anything to get it done. I mean, the idea that the legislature passes a law, I sign something into law, And I mean, this isn't the only time this has happened. And whatever I signed into law doesn't really happen because Joint Finance decides to hang on to that money. That's wrong. That's why we're in court. But whatever we can do to get it out, if that means tying it to something else and we move on, but it's just wrong-headed to think that that is appropriate and legal. I just think it's not. That's why we're in court. But if there's something we can do in the meantime, let's have it.
Two last questions, Chris.
Governor, your line item vetoes on the proposals that would have funded the hospital closures in the Chippewa Valley. Republicans argue that those your line item vetoes are the reason why they are withholding those funds in the Joint Finance Committee. Are you willing to revisit that issue in the upcoming session?
What we did was the right thing. The people, the representatives of the Eau Claire area, people in the healthcare world in Eau Claire asked us to do this, and that we did it. We did, you know, the what came out of the last budget, or yeah, the last budget on this was not what the people in Eau Claire, at least the ones that talked to us, and that included healthcare folks, they wanted a broader use of that money. So, no, I mean, we're well past the idea that somehow I'm going to undo that veto. We need to get that money out. Joint Finance Committee does not have the legal authority to do what they did. And so we're looking forward to a resolution in court.
Do you have plans to do more communication with leaders of the legislature and Democratic legislators? Do you have sort of plans to step that up?
We'll work with that. We'll work with them anytime that they're available. And, you know, we worked a lot on the budget last time, especially when we talked about shared revenue. And we hope to be able to do that in the future.
Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good day. Have a good year. Thanks.
That I can answer for folks just for background. I know I distributed that press release, sorry I didn't have it done for you.